This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved and we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, baby. It's just not enough.
Oh, yeah. Barry White. Good morning, everybody.
Lower.
Barry Fuller?
Barry White.
Barry White. Barry White ain't Barry White. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. That was pretty funny. Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy, not Barry White. And along with not Barry White, Big Ed Davis. We both thank you for not being Barry White and for joining us.
It's actually pretty close.
Thank you. Well, you know, we do imitations on this show. We can do a lot of them. We used to do Richard Nixon and John Kennedy and a bunch of others, but that's another era. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation. He will join us to discuss Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe into Donald Trump and possible collusion or obstruction of justice. We're going to find out what he thinks. Does he really think this is a witch hunt or not? And the state of Illinois, while nobody's looking, is about to go bankrupt. I mean, Chicago and the whole state sinking into Lake Michigan, perhaps, about to go belly up. We're going to talk about why that is so. And are the Democrats intentionally stopping Republicans from doing anything on health care? Do they want Obamacare to do nothing but evaporate? Now, maybe that's a good thing, but we're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you got to listen. And with all due respect, there should be awards for this one. The top 10 worst actors in Hollywood. Do you think you know who they are? By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber, his shop in the Columbia Plaza in Clearwater for the best haircut, man, in Tampa Bay. Move on over to Andrew's Master Barber Shop. It is just west of Highway US 19 on State Road 580 in the Columbia Plaza. And also, do not forget, you can listen to our shows anytime, anytime, for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. OurFreedomWorks.com. You can also just hit the podcast button there and go and look at any show. Big Ed sets up all of our shows. You will know who the guest is that we're going to have and the topic and the top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, another day in London. Sadly, another attack. This time, apparently, a white man mowed down a bunch of Muslims coming out of a service in London. They were coming out of a London mosque. And this idiot in a van started running over them. Apparently one person at this point, known dead. At least 10 others injured. I think the guy blew a kiss to people as he was being taken away. Well, you just knew something like that was going to happen eventually. Somewhere, sometime, right? Somebody was going to be upset with the Muslims, and they were going to do copycat. So they're doing copycat. And it's very sad. At the same time, again, overseas, I guess, we don't normally, you know, this show kind of sticks with politics and philosophy of government and things like that. But when you got an American plane downing a Syrian plane, and the Russians upset, maybe we should talk about it. Russian officials today are threatening to start shooting down our planes if we cross over into a certain area. So we're getting a little closer, are we not, to a big dust-up, possibly, with Putin and Russia? They say that the Russians say that they'll treat U.S. coalition planes in Syria as targets. After the U.S. military shot down a Syrian Air Force jet yesterday, they say if any plane of the Americans goes west of the Euphrates River, they would be considered targets. So, you know, we're sitting around here quibbling about who said what, he said, she said, in an investigation that there is nothing to about Donald Trump. And in the meantime, is this not bizarro world? In the meantime, overseas, we're about to shoot down each other's planes in Syria. So it's getting a little bit weird. But you know the last time a U.S. jet shot down another country's plane? Kosovo in 1999. Kosovo. It was a Serbian MiG we shot down. And it's been a long time. Now, yesterday it was a U.S. F-18 Super Hornet shooting down a Syrian Su-22. I used to have a Syrian Su-22. I sold it. But anyway, it's kind of dangerous, is it not? I would think we should be a little bit concerned about that. And finally, before we go to our break and then that interview I'm very much looking forward to with John Malcolm, what's going on in Illinois? The Illinois official responsible for paying the state's bills is saying new court orders mean the office must pay out more every month than they get. Now, unlike the government, they cannot just order a batch of new money through the Federal Reserve. Hey, go print us some more money. You have to balance your books. But the controller, a woman in Illinois, must prioritize what gets paid and what does not. So that means Illinois is not paying some of its bills. A mix of state law, court orders, and pressure from the credit agencies require that some items have to be paid. These include you got to pay your debt, you got to pay your pension, you got to pay the state workers their paychecks, and you got to pay some school funding. But they don't have enough to pay the rest. That means that there's no money left for school buses, domestic violence shelters, and some ambulance services. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And a lot of it has to do, and the same thing in California, with agreeing to these uproariously high salaries for state workers, including teachers, years ago. And they would just transfer money from the pension funds that were at that time building up, right? They would take money out of the pension funds, and they would then pay bills for teacher salaries that they raised and the like. Well, now they can't do that anymore because there's no money left in the pension funds to steal from. And even the pensions are now, since they've been stole from, they can't cover all of the state workers that retired. So that's where you go. That's where you go. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, John Malcolm from the Heritage Foundation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
There's only one place on the radio where golfers like you can turn for the best tips, interviews, product reviews, local tournaments, and everything golf talk. The Golf Show, guys.
Hey, join the Golf Show, guys, every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's not just funny, it's informative, it's celebrities, and it's a lot of applause. It's the Golf Show, guys, Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tan Talk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jim Jalbert, and I'm the owner of Direct Renovation Products, the leading provider of kitchen and bath cabinetry. Join me Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. for a show about your indoor and outdoor living spaces right here on the Tan Talk Network. We'll break down most every aspect of remodeling or upgrading your indoor and outdoor living space, in particular your kitchen and your bath. We'll have experts in studio from various trades associated with the housing and construction industry. Tune into your indoor and outdoor living spaces right here on the Tan Talk Network, Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back on FreedomWorks, and I have a little apology. We're going to have John Malcolm in our 10:30 slot. So I'm looking forward to it, but we're going to do it right after our break at 10:30. In the meantime, we got a lot of other things to go on. And by the way, we're going to talk with John Malcolm, who oversees the Heritage Foundation's work in constitutional law. He's one of those legal experts, and we're going to talk a little bit about this whole fiasco, and I'm calling it a fiasco because it seems like it's a probe in search of a crime, does it not? And we're going to talk to him about the investigation by Robert Mueller. He's a special prosecutor, I guess you might say. And whether or not he's going to actually be even-handed, is he going to not only investigate whether Donald Trump tried to obstruct justice, but whether or not James Comey is leaking like a sieve? And what about former Attorney General Janet Lynch on the tarmac? What about that? Are they going to investigate any of that? So here's the thing with the an independent prosecutor. The sky's the limit. You can find anything. You can start out looking for Russian collusion, hop to obstruction, move from obstruction to, say, Donald Trump's tax returns. You know? It is a witch hunt.
Where do you think the media would be if President Trump went to Comey at the time, when he was still FBI, and said, this Russian probe on me, let's not call an investigation. Let's call it a matter. Can you imagine the firestorm?
And, of course, you're referring to Janet Lynch telling Comey.
Yes.
When they were investigating Hillary Clinton as she was trying desperately to break every cell phone in the mansion that they lived in so that no information could be gleaned from them. Well, we won't call this an investigation. Matter. Oh, okay. We'll call it a matter. And apparently he's decided to go along with it. Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's what it is. And I don't know that we'll get into all of this with John Malcolm. But when Comey goes and takes a memo, I just was thinking about this today. He takes a memo, which he was writing about a conversation with the president, right? Now, he didn't get an okay from the president to go out and publicize their conversation, but he takes that memo and he sends it to the New York Times. He sends it to a college professor who sends it to the New York Times. What is the difference between him doing that and just repeating what the president told him as far as breaking a confidentiality. And some people are trying to argue that, well, when you send your own memo, that's not classified. What you wrote down yourself, that's your stuff. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second. So that means that if you're in a classified meeting and you go out and you give up the information that was being talked about, that's okay because you wrote it in a memo? Are we getting a little weird here? There's supposed to be some breach. Isn't there supposed to be some sort of an agreement that I'm talking to you here, but we're not going to be, publicizing it to the Wall Street Journal or something? I don't know. So I hope that this guy Mueller is a straight shooter. Because if he's a straight shooter, he's going to give equal time to that kind of a thing and the leaking, which is illegal, by the way. You can't be leaking information on the investigation. That's illegal. That's a clear crime. Mm-hmm. And now you got over here, you got Trump. We still haven't got a crime over here, do we? Is there a possible crime somewhere there? Maybe. But we haven't. Over here, we know we got a crime. So you better investigate the crime, in my opinion. And it's getting bizarre. So when we talk with John Malcolm in a little bit, I hope we will. John's a good guy. And I saw him, by the way, on television the other day, John Malcolm, talking about this. He appeared on Squawk Box. I know you don't watch it, but I don't either. CNBC. And he was talking about it.
Sounds like something Wilbur'd watch. Squawk Box.
You know what I think of when I hear squawk? I think of a parrot. Mm. Do you?
Yeah, they squawk.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing with Napolitano and Clinton meeting on that plane, you'd think they'd try to hide it a little bit better than they did. Wear a disguise.
Well, they were trying to. No, they were trying
Maybe
to.
Maybe Janet could wear a mustache or something,
She could have, or a raincoat with a hood.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to hide it. That was not out in the open. It was because some local reporter saw Trump wandering out or something like that, and reported it. That was not in the open when they did that.
Yeah. It's not like you could back a plane up to the other plane and just jump from one thing to the other.
Could you see Janet Lynch? No, I shouldn't say that. Somehow, I don't think she could jump very high or far. But they were doing it, and it was. I'm more concerned about destroying all of the emails and the cell phones. I'm more concerned with setting up a server in your house, and then taking classified info over. Is there something? Am I mixed up here? Isn't that more of a crime?
That's why Hillary's got to lay low, because every time she comes out in the open, people start reminding themselves of the email and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then she disappears for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. And every time she comes out, you realize why she didn't win.
Yeah.
And she starts to talk again.
Ugh.
You just, with all due respect, folks, could you take listening to her on a regular... I mean, she makes Donald Trump look like one of the greatest orators of all time, maybe,
This was one of the worst, without a doubt, election years for having to put up with candidates.
That's true.
I mean, everything from, Marco Rubio and his prepared line that he kept saying over and over and all that stuff.
Well, Ed, let me ask you this, though. Okay, you're talking about the Republican primary. Were you kind of on board with Donald Trump early in
from the start?
Were you?
Yeah.
So you liked him right away?
I did.
And what was it? Was it because he was sort of a populist message?
Because he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do.
Okay.
I thought that when he would
He's not a politician.
Exactly. Oh. And that's what people on one hand, they keep saying, this guy's not polished. He's not a politician. Exactly. He doesn't go up there and lie.
Yeah.
They all lie.
Well, he speaks from his heart.
Listen
sometimes.
To this one on Imus this morning. What's his name? Is running for mayor. And Imus, and is a good friend of the programming, and Imus asked him, are you for or against abortions? And he said, I'm against. Okay. But I believe in woman's right to choose. Yeah. Isn't that the same thing? Isn't that going the opposite way?
Of course it is. Well, here's the answer that a liberal will give you. A liberal will give you this answer. Oh, I'm against it personally. However, everybody else can do it.
Right.
And I'll do it myself if you don't find out. So, I mean, that's the answer you get from a liberal. Just say this. Let's be fair. Donald Trump has vacillated on that issue. He has. Mm-hmm. So he's not a true conservative in many ways, as you know. He's not. You know, he believes in some of these things that the government should do that a conservative would say, oh, no, don't do that. That's private sector.
I mean, I don't think we've caught him lying yet. I mean, usually...
I don't think he lies. I think he's more from the gut. And in a way, that's the likable thing about the guy.
Right.
He will say something right rather than be a politician and so diplomatic that he doesn't reveal himself. You know, a politician gets to be a great politician by completely closing up and not revealing themselves to you, what they really are.
In a prepared speech.
This is the way I am, and I'm going to... If you hit me with a critique I think is unfair, I'm going to do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to some extent, he comes off as very, what is the word?
Arrogant?
Yeah, but not just, it's...
Brash?
Like if somebody says something to you, you know, critiques you, and you respond, it's because you've been thin-skinned a little bit.
He's insecure and thin-skinned,
isn't he? Well. A little bit. Now, look. Great people have been insecure and thin-skinned, so this is not saying that he can't be a great president.
In his first 100 days, I say he's got to have the toughest skin that I know of.
Because
I mean, you're on every late-night talk show. Yeah. The whole monologue is nothing but Trump. That's why I haven't watched him since he's been elected. I haven't watched one Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel.
I can't watch those either.
It's just so evident.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Nobody has been pounded and more than this guy ever. But Donald Trump himself, because of the fact that he'll use the tweets and he's always done that. That's his history. He's a little thin-skinned. That's just the way it is. And so because he is, it's like the kid when you went to school and you knew that if you made a joke about him, you would get a reaction out of him, right?
Right.
So You would tease him. It's a tease. So he's being teased and he responds.
But go back 8 years. If somebody had a comedian walked on stage with a severed Obama head, can you
imagine the
firestorm? Where's Al Sharpton? Where is he?
There would have been such a rising up of emotion and complete saturation of coverage. As the likes of which you would never, yeah, absolutely right. And there's no question about it. So everybody, I think even the liberals now say, you know what, maybe the press is a little one-sided. Well, when you even have the liberals admitting that the press is one-sided, you know they're one-sided. And that's exactly what they are. So let's do this. I'm going to take our break, and hopefully we'll get our friend John Malcolm from the Heritage Foundation. So we will be right back.
Take a chance, 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 take a
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Man, if you're looking for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, then I've got the place for you. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater. Andrew, his daughter Candy, and their staff will see to it you get a great haircut and for a great price as well. Cutting men's hair is all they do. Not like some of these so-called unisex hair salons where the price is high and you never know who you're going to get. And by the way, you'll not only get a great haircut, you'll also love the experience. The shop is just like the ones you remember as a kid. and staffed with the friendliest group of people you'll ever meet. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19 and the Countryside Mall in Clearwater. Just look for the yellow sign with the red letters. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? You have issues. How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back and delighted to have John Malcolm join us. John is with the Heritage Foundation, and he oversees their work to increase the understanding of the Constitution and the rule of law as director of the Edwin Meese Center there. And John, thank you so very much for coming on. I want to start out by asking you straight out, is this whole situation right now with the investigation of the Trump administration by Robert Mueller a search, an investigation in search of a crime for a crime?
That's difficult to say. So Bob Mueller has basically been appointed to look into all things Russian. So it's not at all surprising that he would at least conduct a preliminary investigation into whether the president or anyone on his team somehow conspired with the Russians to upset the integrity of the electoral process. It seems very far-fetched. I think it's well worth noting that until a month ago, Jim Comey was the FBI director, and on three separate occasions, he told Donald Trump that he was not the subject or target of any such investigation. He also said, Jim Comey, that is, that he considered the Flynn investigation to be separate from the Russian investigation, and that only on one occasion did the president speak to him about Michael Flynn and never spoke to him about the Russian investigation. And even with respect to Michael Flynn, that during a meeting in the Oval Office on Valentine's Day, he said, look, I hope you can see your way clear. He's a good guy to letting this thing be. That's the only time they talked about it. He never followed up to see whether or not whether Comey had dropped the Flynn investigation. And indeed, a month later, said, look, I want you to go out and tell the public that I didn't do anything wrong. But if any of my quote-unquote satellite associates did something wrong, you know, I hope you'll uncover it. So I think it's very doubtful that at the end of the day that he'll be able to make a case. But he's certainly been appointed for the purpose of looking into this, and he's doing so with zealously, as you would expect Bob Mueller to do.
Well, that's was going to be my follow-up question to you. Do you think Bob Mueller is the right guy for this investigation?
Well, that's also an interesting point. I would, under normal circumstances, say yes, Bob Mueller is a highly skilled professional, spent years as a line prosecutor and then, you know, a U.S. attorney, the head of the criminal division. For 12 years, he was the FBI director. But he is very, very close friends with Jim Comey, and Jim Comey is certainly emerging as a critical witness in this investigation, whose credibility is subject to attack just like any other witnesses. And so he's got to be very careful and to try to keep Jim Comey at arm's length. There have also been some allegations made that a number of the people whom he has asked to join the investigative team have contributed heavily to Democratic candidates in the past. That isn't necessarily, I'm not meaning to impugn anybody's integrity, but it's got to be a little bit careful there. I mean, if it had been Barack Obama under investigation, the entire investigative and prosecutorial team was made up of people who had contributed heavily to Republicans, I think that people on the Democratic side of the aisle would be raising questions about that. It's very important that this investigation not only be fair, but that it be perceived as being fair by the public at large, and those are troubling signs. So that isn't to say that Bob Mueller can't do a thorough, professional, and independent job, but he's got to be a little bit careful about how he proceeds.
You mentioned James Comey, the former FBI director, and leaking. And so let me ask you this, as a person that knows the law.
Sure.
If I'm sitting with the president, and he's talking to me about anything, but, you know, he's talking to me under the guise of I'm having a conversation with you as my FBI director.
Right.
And I go out And I write a memo about the conversation, and then I send it, in this case, he was trying to get it, apparently, to one of the major newspapers. He sent it through an intermediary, but he did it intentionally to get it publicized. What is the difference between that and just coming out and absolutely saying, I just had a meeting with President Trump. He assumed I was going to be keeping this silent, but I'm going to come out to the microphone now and tell you exactly what we said. I mean, does he have any right to do either one of those?
I think it was whether he violated a criminal law or not, I don't know. He certainly violated FBI policy, and you are exactly correct. The president was meeting with Jim Comey not because they were old, high school classmates or college roommates. He was meeting with him to talk about official business, and he was meeting with him in his capacity as FBI director.
That's why.
The president is entitled, he can assert, whether he chooses to do so or not, an executive privilege with respect to any discussions that he has. The executive privilege exists. It's well established in case law in order to encourage candor by the president and subordinates of the president. And certainly Jim Comey took it upon himself to waive the privilege, if you will, without giving the president that opportunity. And he did so for a very particular reason, which was to try to steer this investigation towards the appointment of an independent counsel. So at the very least, it was bad form and hypocritical of Jim Comey, who has decried leakers and investigated leakers over the course of his career, to be a leaker himself. Whether it violates a criminal law, I'll leave it to others to opine.
Well, I think that's the...
It certainly called his credibility and does call his credibility into question.
Yeah, and I think that's the actual question there, that if there's going to be a probe, it's whether or not leaking this information is violating is indeed a crime. We're talking with John Malcolm. He oversees the Heritage Foundation's work to increase understanding of the Constitution and the rule of law as director of the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. And, boy, John, I'll bet you're all over the place having to talk to people, because if nothing else, everybody is looking back at the Constitution. Maybe that's a good thing, because we forget it in so many cases. But the Constitution is indeed going to be probed, I think, in this situation. Now, we've got this Mueller, and again, apparently, if Donald Trump wanted to fire Robert Mueller for any reason or no reason at all, could he do it?
Yes.
So if he...
There is no longer an independent counsel statute. He has not been appointed as an independent counsel.
Right.
He is a special prosecutor. There is a provision that says he's supposed to be fired for good cause, but it is the president that has the constitutional obligation to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. He could fire Robert Mueller. He could order that this probe be shut down. He could issue pardons to everybody involved in this process, and there would be no question about his authority. It might very well, and probably would, cause him all kinds of political headaches that could lead to possible charges for impeachment, for abuse of power, et cetera. But he would have the constitutional authority to do all those things.
Right. But could he not come out? I mean, we're just speculating now. But if he senses that this thing is going badly, whether it's badly because it's being mishandled or badly because it looks like Donald Trump's getting into hotter and hotter water, could he not come out and say, look, I'm going to replace Robert Mueller with another more objective independent prosecutor, and he names somebody that seems to have really objective background. I just wonder if he could get away with that.
Well, it's hard to know whether he could certainly get away with it as a legal matter. Whether he could get away with it as a political matter, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people, Bob Mueller has spent a career building up a reservoir of goodwill. Now, mind you, he can exhaust it, if he doesn't treat Jim Comey appropriately in terms of keeping him at arm's length, or if he surrounds himself with a bunch of people who are very heavy Democratic contributors. But he has. I mean, at the moment, I think that if the president were to fire Bob Mueller, it would cause a political problem for him, which is why a number of people around him are advising him not to do so. There are a couple of people around whom are advising him to do so, but a lot of them are saying, let Mueller proceed at the moment and let's see where things go.
In the meantime, both Donald Trump and Mike Pence, his vice president, have lawyered up. And yep. Jay Sekulow, one of Donald Trump's lawyers, was making the circuit of the talk shows yesterday. You may have seen it. He got into a particularly down and dirty argument with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday about whether or not the president is now a target or not a target. I mean, they really got down to it with a real argument. And I mean, have we gotten to that point now? I mean, it would seem that the reason Mueller is doing all of this is to find out whether or not the administration has done anything wrong. Maybe I'm missing it. I mean, don't we already agree that the Russians have been trying to do a little bit of hanky-panky with our elections? Everybody says it's true, although have we seen any evidence of that at all being put forth?
I haven't, but of course the intelligence community has access to all kinds of classified information to which we are not privy.
True.
And I actually, look, I'm not at all surprised that the Russians attempt to influence or meddle in our electoral process. They try to do many things to undermine the integrity and credibility of our democracy, and they've been doing that in our elections for years. And by the way, they don't just do it in the United States. They do it in other countries too. So the fact that the Russians attempted to do this, perhaps even on an unprecedented scale, does not surprise me. It troubles me, but it doesn't surprise me. What's being looked into is whether or not he had a willing co-conspirator in the president or people around the president. I have heard about the Jay Sekulow, the guy whom I know, and the Chris Wallace exchange. I haven't seen it. I don't know whether the argument was over the use of the word target. Target, in the context of a criminal investigation, is a very, very significant word. It means
yes.
That there is credible evidence to believe that somebody has done something wrong, and federal authorities are focusing on that person. I would hope that Chris Wallace would not have used the word target. I certainly think that the word target is very inappropriate word to use. It may not mean much to the general public, but to those people who have been involved in criminal law, target means they're focusing in on you, and they
right.
have good reason to focus in on you.
Yes, indeed.
And it's certainly not the target of an investigation, at least in my knowledge.
Well, that was Jay Sekulow's point. And then Wallace basically said, well, you don't know that he's not under investigation, do you? And then Sekulow said something like, of course I don't. I can't read anybody else's mind. So they went back and forth. And then, you know, Wallace said something like, well, therefore he might, wouldn't you agree he might be a target? Or be under invest, you know, that's how that whole thing went.
Right.
But
it wouldn't surprise me again if he's under investigation.
Yeah.
I think that's what Mueller is there to do, to look into all of these allegations.
Correct.
And up to and including the president. But a target is a very significant word.
Right.
That wasn't used.
Right. But then, you know, Donald Trump, bless him, starts tweeting out, hey, I'm the center of a probe, according to the Washington Post. And then he makes mention that, and the person that has made me the center of the probe is the guy that I hired to, you know, blah, 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 that kind of thing, with a tweet.
Yeah.
So in a way, I guess Chris Wallace was trying to confirm that Donald Trump thinks he's the center of a probe. And Sekulow's saying, no, he doesn't. He's referring to the Washington Post comment. So, you know, maybe the Washington Post got it wrong. You know, I mean, that's where we seem to be at. At now, and you
well,
can't,
I don't know whether
you can't
he's the
it.
Center of a probe. He's certainly he and everybody involved in his campaign, I assume, would be part of a probe. But there is a big difference between being part of a probe and somebody coming up with credible evidence that you actually engaged in wrongdoing. I mean, I was a prosecutor, a line prosecutor, for 7 years, and you know, conducting a preliminary investigation and looking into allegations of wrongdoing. You're a long way away from actually being able to back up those allegations with credible, solid proof.
Yeah.
I have no idea where Bob Mueller is with respect to that, but I would be surprised if he could actually use the word target, which, again, to most people
yeah.
just means, oh, they're looking at you. But to those people that are involved in criminal law enforcement, target means they've got a lot of evidence against you and they are focusing in on you. I would be very surprised if that was the case with respect to President Trump.
In the meantime, there is this huge cloud hanging over the White House, and in fact, all over Washington. Is anything going to get done? I mean, how long do you think this probe is, John? How long do you think this probe is going to last? Is this going to be something that goes on, and therefore the press can just like bring it up on a regular basis while everything else is trying to get done?
Well, I don't think there's any question that the Democrats, whose mantra appears to be resist, are doing everything they can to drive up the president's negatives, and this is part of that narrative. They're sort of creating a room filled with smoke and saying, gee, with all of the smoke, there simply has to be a fire somewhere. Of course, it could all just be smoke. This probe could go on for a while. I suppose it depends on how Bob Mueller's mandate is. If it is just to see whether or not the president and someone on his team conspired with the Russians, that would be a somewhat discreet probe. If they're looking into anything that Michael Flynn might have done or whether any of Trump's associates engaged in any kind of financial improprieties, that would be pretty, pretty broad-ranging, and it could go on for a while. If they're looking at potential improprieties in the sense of, did the Russians pay a bribe to somebody to participate in any conspiracy, or did the Russians become aware of financial misdeeds and threaten to extort somebody by disclosing that unless they cooperated, that would be pretty discreet. If it's broader than that, then who knows what the limiting principle is, and it could go on for a long time. I hope it doesn't.
Could Robert Mueller start looking into Trump's taxes, start looking into other things that have nothing to do with the Russian probe?
Well, I don't know exactly what his conversation with Rod Rosenstein had been about the extent of his mandate. I suppose if you were going to look to see whether or not the president has been bribed or has...
Well, I mean, like his income...
If you're conducting a financial investigation or looking into a corrupt conspiracy, getting somebody's tax returns would be a standard part of any investigation.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that the investigation has to go on forever. You take a look at the tax returns and you see whether there's anything there.
In other words, must he stay on topic? Or if he goes, well, in search of this crime, I found another one, so I'm going to investigate that now.
Well, look, that is the problem with independent counsels. He's not technically an independent counsel. He's a special prosecutor. I mean, what began with Bill Clinton of looking at a land deal in Arkansas ended up with a blue dress and Monica
True.
Lewinsky. So you never know exactly where things are going to go. But I certainly hope for the president's sake and also for the sake of the country, he stays focused, Bob Mueller stays focused on the issue of whether there was a conspiracy involving somebody in the Trump campaign with the Russians. And if that goes by the wayside, he should just turn the whole business back over to the Department of Justice to conduct any other investigations that they might want to do as being outside of his mandate.
And you know what Donald Trump is thinking right now? He's thinking, why in the hell did I ever run for president? What is going on here?
Well, there are headaches that come along with
Oh, headaches.
No question about
this is
it.
A migraine. Okay. John, thank you so very much. We really appreciate your thoughts on this, and I hope we can talk again down the road.
Sounds great. A pleasure being with you.
All right. John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation. And believe me, he is a busy guy. In fact, before we were doing this interview, he was doing some other interview somewhere on some other station. So he's running around. I guess that keeps these people employed, you know, to some extent. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, ultimately, the top 10 worst actors in Hollywood.
She's simply awesome.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Man, if you're looking for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, then I've got the place for you. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater. Andrew, his daughter Candy, and their staff will see to it you get a great haircut and for a great price as well. Cutting men's hair is all they do, not like some of these so-called unisex hair salons where the price is high and you never know who you're going to get. And by the way, you'll not only get a great haircut, you'll also love the experience. The shop is just like the ones you remember as a kid, and staffed with the friendliest group of people you'll ever meet. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19 and the Countryside Mall in Clearwater. Just look for the yellow sign with the red letters. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
All right, we're back for our last segment, and thank you so much for being with us on Freedom Works on a Monday morning. Well, do you think the Democrats want to see their Obamacare completely evaporate? I don't think they do, but why are they doing what they do to the Republicans right now on this issue? Senate Republicans must make significant headway this week on efforts to repeal Obamacare before July the 4th, because that is their self-imposed deadline. And Democrats, apparently, plotting ways to grind the chamber's daily business to a halt, to protest the Republicans working on this bill. And here is, for instance, from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar. She is a Democratic senator. She says, doing this, meaning working on health care behind closed doors, is actually not what we did with Obamacare. Now, she says this, and do you remember that when that bill came out, nobody read it? There wasn't, not even Republicans. Obamacare. And then Nancy Pelosi famously said, well, we have to pass it to see what's in it. So that doesn't make much sense when she says we were transparent. No, you weren't. Nobody read it. Well, Democrats are upset that this health care replacement bill by the Republicans is being drafted by a group of 13 Republican senators, and only them in a closed door, and that the leaders of the Senate, the Republican leaders, won't allow Democrats to get involved in the process. Well, they've been invited to work with Republicans, but they have said they are not going to allow Obamacare to be repealed. And the Republicans and Donald Trump won on the idea that they would repeal it. So why don't the Democrats understand that and say, let's get together. We'll work out a better product. But apparently, no. The Democrats will try to squelch anything the Republicans do, allow the entire health care programs in our country to collapse, and then in November of 2018, they'll get to run on saying, well, look what the Republicans couldn't come up with a new health care plan for you, as if they think they're going to win on that. I don't think they know what they're talking about. In fact, any true conservative or libertarian would say, we hope that the Obamacare does collapse and that you don't replace it, because then the free market can pick up the pieces. Then the states can pick up the pieces, and you'll get some real health care reform with lower-priced health care. You know? Have you noticed, we talked about this sometime back, as long as we're on health care. We talked about the fact that doctors would become, there would be a shortage of doctors, and you would be starting to see nurse practitioners instead of doctors. That's exactly what's happening, and that's thanks to the government's intervention.
PAs.
And PAs, that's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, I don't
You're
see a
exactly
doctor anymore.
Right, exactly.
I hardly see a doctor anymore. I see a PA.
A PA, yeah. Exactly right. So this is what we've come to, and the government is the sole reason for it. Because before the government got involved, not only could you see a doctor, he would visit you in your home. That's what they used to do.
By horse and buggy.
No. You're saying that, but I'm telling you. Even when, don't make any joke about it, but when I was a little boy, and you're laughing, in the 50s, a little boy like 4 and 5 years old, the doctor would come to see him, really. Now, you're never going to see that again, right? Never. You can die in your bed and they won't come and see you. Only the coroner will come and see you. Okay. Hey, we got to give, this is important, man. We're talking about unimportant stuff. Now we're going to talk about important stuff. These are the 10 worst actors in Hollywood.
I guess Wilbur's off today.
And Wilbur's off today. Wilbur, our doc, I'm sorry. I couldn't find a good story.
Go.
Wilbur, go away. You know what? Actually, I like him, Wilbur being with us, because these are the worst Hollywood actors, and we need a Dr. Quack at them. So without further ado, the worst actors in Hollywood, number 10. No, not Donald Duck. Do you know who Keanu Reeves is?
Keanu Reeves.
Well, the Him too. Both of them.
He's number 10?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I can find worse than that.
You think he's worse?
Yeah. Come on.
But he's made a lot of money, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
He's made a lot of money standing and looking concerned. Can't act. Mm. Okay, number 9. And I be honest, I don't know this guy. Do you know Hayden Christensen?
No.
He's a Canadian actor.
That's why.
And a producer. He began his career on Canadian TV at the age of 13 and then diversified into American TV in the late 90s. Well, I don't know how he got on there, but he was so bad we don't even remember him. Number 8. Tommy Wiseau, W-I-S-E-A-U, director, screenwriter, producer, and actor, best known for The Room, described by many as one of the worst movies ever made. Hmm. And has gained cult film status because it was so bad. Okay, number 7. Ed, you got to help me on this guy. Do you know Robert Pattinson?
No.
I don't either. Well, good old Robert is number 7. And Robert, we have nothing to say further about.
Well, I guess if it's names we don't know, that's why they're so bad, because we don't know them.
Excellent point. Thank you, sir. You just bailed me out. Number 6. We both know this guy because he used to be on Saturday Night Live. Mm. Adam Sandler.
I was going to say Adam Sandler's a worse actor than Keanu Reeves. So that would be
so fitting. And that's why he's higher up in the worst acting list. Okay. Good old Adam Sandler. He did do on Saturday Night Live a very funny Jewish song. I cannot think of it now, but it was funny. Okay. Number 5. Steven Seagal.
Seagal.
Seagal. What?
Steven Seagal.
Seagal. Seagal.
Always dressed in black, martial arts. Yeah, he's horrible.
He is a horrible actor. And by the way, he's gotten sort of out of shape, but he's also a film producer, screenwriter, and a martial artist. Goodbye, Steven. Number 4. And I know this is one of your particular favorites, Ed. Justin Bieber. Your buddy Justin.
Actor?
Justin Bieber. He currently, by the way, resides in Canada. He once said he was part Indian. Yeah, well, he apparently made a movie that nobody ever saw. That's why you don't know, right?
Well, he's much better singer than he is actor, I guess.
I know. Anyway, number 3. The wonderful and talented Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus, poor Miley. She's gotten in more trouble, that poor thing. Mm. I'm glad she's still alive, though. Number 2. All right, now you got to help me on this one, Ed. Kristen Stewart.
Mm-mm.
Kristen Stewart, American actress, born into a film-oriented family, began acting in 1999, uncredited roles. She, in 2002, played Jodie Foster's daughter in a movie called Panic Room.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Was she really a bad daughter?
She was young. I don't know if she's done anything after that.
Okay. So. And who do you think, Ed, is the number one worst Hollywood actor?
Oh, wow, there's so many. I can't figure one out.
She made a lot of money on the cover of newspapers because she wasn't doing anything. Paris Hilton.
Oh, God. She was actually in a movie?
She must have been.
Okay.
Paris Hilton, businesswoman, socialite, television personality, model, actress, singer, disc jockey, and author. Multi-talented
and lousy actress.
Paris Hilton. My friends, thank you so much. Freedom Works. We will be back on Wednesday.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay.